This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first-timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network. Brand new episodes every other week with new guests sharing their Disney memories. Shell is on this episode of the podcast. She is fresh back from Florida. So fresh back, she's still jet-lagged and she's up to her neck in washing. We'll talk to Shell about her trip in just a moment. We have got a lot of news to get through as well. If you're a Muppets fan, Star Wars fan, a Zootopia fan, a lot of news to cover you on. We've got a top tip about some cheap food at restaurants over the next couple of weeks. And if you're going to either the Halloween party or Christmas party, got a top tip at the end of this episode as well. And your questions. Now, if you've got any questions, if you're going to Disney World, I always say, you know, send me a message, Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok, whatever. Send me a message. No question is too stupid, whether it's a planning question, you want some advice, or maybe some ideas of stuff to do when you're at Walt Disney World, do let me know. This question came through last week, and I just thought this hasn't got anything to do with planning. I just thought it was a great question. And I'm going to put this on Facebook as well, because I'd love to hear what you think about this. This is from Neil, who says, Andy, love the podcast. Just wondered if you could have any new songs on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, what would you have? This is great. I'm going to put this on Facebook in a few days' time. I love all the songs there. Maybe not so much Tears of Fears, just because I think it feels like the ride is slower. So everybody wants to rule the world. It feels like the ride slows down. It doesn't. It's the same speed. So if I was having a new song, it would have to be something fast. Now, I like the Mission Breakout over at Disney California Adventure. Yeah, the one that used to be the Tower of Terror. Guardians of the Galaxy. I love it. It's really good. They got some good songs on there. I Want You Back, Jackson 5. They got Pat Benatar. Hit Me With Your Best Shot. So maybe if they put those on, I think it would be good. Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, I think would be good on Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. Or maybe, well, I did think YMCA. But I think that's a bit political in America now, isn't it? Donald Trump has kind of like adopted that one. So maybe not that one. But something like that. Something fast and fun. What do you think? Let me know. I'll put this, maybe give it a few days' time, like early next week. I'll put it on Facebook. Let me know. Have a bit of a think about it. What songs would you like to hear if they had new songs on Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot? At Pod Magical is where we are on all the socials. If you want to comment on that, or if you've got any questions, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest like Shell, or we're going to talk to in a minute, drop me a message, we'll get you on. Welcome to Shell. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Is it Shell or Michelle? What we're calling you?
Either is fine. I had Michelle written on my personalised ears. That's my kind of full name, but I guess I go by Shell or Shelley, okay. My family too. So yeah, either's good.
I mean, you probably don't even know your own name at the minute because you were so jet-lagged. How long have you been back?
100%. Yeah, we just got back a day and a half ago. So children are still up at sort of very early hours of the morning. We're all still kind of just recovering, getting things out of suitcases still. Yeah, we're very much in the throes of just got back.
Yeah. You live out of a suitcase for quite a while. You live out of a suitcase most of the holiday, and then you get home, you're kind of living out of it and putting it into the washing. But let's not think about the washing. Let's talk about the trip, because this was quite a special trip. Let's get the emotions out of the way.
Okay. Let's do it.
Tell me about this trip to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, so I am part of a bit of a, I guess we'd call ourselves a bit of a Disney family, in that my parents went to Disneyland in California 40 years ago. It was actually the year I was born, and they'd planned the trip in their early 20s. They wanted to do like a cross America fly drive trip, which in the mid 80s, tricky to organize, a lot of phone calls, you have to, you know, write to places to organize things. So when my mum became pregnant with me, they decided they were still going to go, and they decided they're going to leave me in the UK with my grandparents.
Which is fine.
Looking back now, it does seem a bit of a funny decision, but I mean, it's been a funny story throughout my life. You know, a funny thing that happened when I was 6 months old. My parents went to America on a trip without me. But as part of that, they went to at the end of their trips. They went from New York to California. At the end of their trip, they went to Disneyland in California, and it was the 30th anniversary that year. And they were just going to go for one day, sort of see what it was all about and stuff. And they walked in, and suddenly all of these kind of like bells and sirens and things were going off, and they had all these competitions going where if you were like a thousandth visitor or the 10,000th visitor, you'd get special prizes during that year. And they had all these cars and things. And my mum thought, oh my goodness, I've won a car. I've won a big American car.
How'd we get it home?
Yeah, exactly. But it turned out they'd won a free pass to come again the next day. They ended up going twice when they'd only planned to go once. But they really enjoyed it. And because they'd been away from the UK for a month at this point, it was the end of their trip, when they went on Peter Pan's ride and they flew over London, because they didn't know what to expect. Obviously, this is a time when, you know, they didn't even send out the videos ahead of trips then, did they? So you didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
My mum says she was really emotional because like flying over London and seeing the whole Londonscape of the Peter Pan ride made her really homesick. And I think that's always been like a special ride for us ever since. So when they were building Disneyland Paris, my parents always thought, oh, we'll take them there, but it won't be as good as the American ones. And then we went the year after it opened in 93. And we all loved it. And my parents still had in their hearts, not as good as the American ones, but it's good. But we really liked it. And because we were quite a big family, my parents had five children. it was affordable for us to go there. And so we went there, I would say every other year, sometimes every year. For most of my childhood, we went lots and lots of times. I've probably been about 15 to 20 times. I had my 21st birthday there with my uni mates. Yeah. I got engaged there to my husband.
Oh, wow.
We have my mum's 50th birthday in Disneyland Paris. We've been lots and lots of times. It's somewhere that really does feel quite like home for us. And we've been on lots of different sort of size trips. I've been three times with my children as well. I've got a four-year-old and a seven-year-old. And we've taken them three times since sort of, you know, after COVID. And it's a really special place for us. But we always wanted to go to Florida, sorry, getting into Walt Disney World. So once my parents took us in 1999, and I was 14 at the time, and it was a really great trip, and one that we always talked about afterwards. We went for 3 weeks, and my dad had lost his parents the year before, and he had spent all of his inheritance to take us there. I think for him, as part of the grieving process, it was quite good to have something to focus his mind on, all of the planning and preparation at that
and
time.
Family time as well.
Exactly.
I guess that's very important.
100%, exactly. So it was a really special trip. And then we'd always said, as a family, we were going to go for his 60th. That was always the kind of the plan, and that we would go for his 60th. And so for all of these years, we've always thought, we're going to go back in 2020 for my dad's 60th. And then, unfortunately, we did plan most of the trip, and we had a lot of it organised and booked, and restaurants booked and everything. And then COVID hit. At that time, we were going to be going in a big group of 15 of us, and there were kind of like partners, and so all of their children, partners, the children that we had at the time, we've had more since, and it was going to be this massive trip. We had a big house booked and everything, a big villa. And then unfortunately COVID hit, we got everything refunded, and then unfortunately my dad got very unwell, and then he passed away in 2022 cancer. So yeah, so it was really sad, and him and I had really been the ones planning this big Florida trip as well. We'd read all these massive books, comparing notes, and that was a different sort of Walt Disney World seems to have changed a lot since that planning, because everything was very different then. There was only one park that had early magic hours, so if you were staying off-site, you'd have to avoid that park and try and go for the other ones. And there was a lot of different things that we'd kind of factored in as part of our planning, so the landscape's changed quite a lot as well. And so it was somewhere I always really wanted to take my children. My husband and I really wanted to take our children. And so it was always this sort of like beacon that we want to do it, but there was a lot wrapped up in planning, I suppose, and it always seemed very intimidating. But this year we sort of bit the bullet. It's our 40th birthday, my husband's and mine this year. We were like, we're just going to do it. We booked it in January with not really any idea what we're doing. And then I religiously listened to your podcast. I just had it in my ears all the time, and taking notes and things like that, and just like trying to get as much information as possible about, you know, what we need to do. Because somewhere like Disneyland Paris, I feel like I pretty much know how everything works.
After
100%. I know all of like the secret little back alleyways and how to get from here to here really quickly, and all the tips and tricks. I got them all. And I know that Disney Parks, quite a lot of it is about that, about feeling like you're kind of like, oh yeah, no, I've got the insider track on this. Feels quite good. So that was why and I don't think that we did that 100% on this trip, but we did our best and we had an amazing time, so it was really, really good. So I've gone into a whole bunch of stuff, but so we were there for 2.5 weeks in Orlando itself. We had flown into the US 5 days before, and we took a little mini trip. So we flew to Tampa, then we took a little mini trip to New Orleans ahead of it, which we still kept a little bit Disney-ish, because we did a trip on the bayou, which they'd taken the Disney animators on before they did Princess and the Frog, and they showed us the tree that they modeled on Mama Oti's tree and stuff like that. So we still kept it a little bit Disney. And we also got to go on a paddle steamer, because we knew we wouldn't get to go on the riverboat once we were at the park. Exactly. So we kind of plugged those gaps too. So, that was a little extra bit that we did, and then we flew back to Tampa, and then we drove from Tampa to Orlando, and then we were in Orlando for 2.5 weeks. So
2.5 weeks. Did you stay at Disney for this trip?
Here's the story. Yeah, so we didn't stay. We stayed off site for the majority, and we stayed somewhere with like 2 bedrooms, the sort of condo with a within a big apartment complex, a place called The Grove, which is sort of southeast of Animal Kingdom, maybe sort of 10 minutes to Animal Kingdom and then 15 to the other parks. And we had a car. But then I'm always really inspired by the bit in your podcast you do about people's ideal day. And I don't know what happened, but I sort of started thinking, what would we do for our ideal day? And while we were there, it was going to be our wedding anniversary.
Right.
So for one day only, we went and stayed in Wilderness Lodge for one night only, and we had our dream 24 hours in Walt Disney World. Which was
I'm going to
really
pause you there, because we will find out about that at the end of the podcast. Sounds but that's good. Tease to leave us on there, though.
Okay, cool.
So can we go back? I want to go right back. So tell me about the first time you went to Walt Disney World. You say you were 14.
Yeah.
What do you actually remember from that trip?
Oh, so I remember the heat. We were in August, same sort of time of year, sort of mid to end of August. And I remember being very hot. Animal Kingdom had just opened the year before. So everything was very shiny and new there. I remember that being very exciting. The Animal Kingdom being very busy, because it was all new and whatever. I remember the parades a lot and that kind of thing, and just the kind of I really remember the kind of entertainment that you don't get somewhere like Disneyland Paris. Like when you're on the tram on the car park on the way and they're telling jokes still, and or the pre-show to like Fantasmic. I remember things like that, like, you know, the working with the crowds and things ahead of time. So those sorts of things. I really like the general sort of ambience. I really remember. I remember the food, like the portion sizes being huge, and finding that surprising. I think it was just the sort of what is fun about Disneyland Paris is the kind of the French aspect, where you don't fully understand what's going on a lot of the time. whereas when everything's in English, it's kind of a very different experience. So I remember that as well. That kind of like the change to everything, kind of, you know, you being kind of fully understood and fully understanding the culture and stuff. So and then just the size of everything. Like I think when I saw Epcot again this time after 26 years,
I was trying to work it out in my head how long is 26
years. Yeah, it sort of like strikes you like you know, like the size of everything is just incredible as well. So that was really brilliant. I can't really like put my finger on like why I love it so much, but I think you probably feel the same or hear the same from so many people.
Well, that's it. I usually say, why do you love Walt Disney World so much? But you don't know. It's just one of it. It's a feeling sometimes.
It is. And it's like that sort of attention to detail on things that feels like it's not done just because, like, if this is better, people will pay more for it. It feels like it's done out of love. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that's a bit too much, but it feels like it's done out of art and love and like a real, like,
storytelling, isn't it?
It is, but for the sake of storytelling, do you know what I mean? Rather than that's a part of it as well. So,
was there anything that obviously you've just come back, and after 26 year gap, was there anything you go, oh, I wish they'd still got that, anything they've got rid of?
Remember the Bugs Life show from within the Tree of Life. I think because a lot of people hadn't experienced it before, when the seats started rumbling, everyone was screaming. Like it was a real kind of...
It was terrifying. Surprise.
Yeah, and I think because no one had been on it before, because it was such a new park, I really remember that moment and being like, what is going on? I was a bit sad to miss that. I think the other thing as well that I think... I've not missed, and I know that you said before you're trying not to have any spoilers on the Starlight Parade, but I did feel a little bit like I really love the Electrical Light Parade, and I would have loved a Pete's Dragon Float. It's so random. Yeah, I'm sure you probably realize that you're probably aware that there isn't one, but it's such a random film, and it's the only place you really see it anywhere in the park. I just think it would have been such a little like nod to the Electrical Light Parade to be like, oh, and here's a Pete's Dragon Float, and all the kids go, what is this film?
To their what parents, is that? Yeah. I thought there was a newer version, wasn't there?
There was a few years ago.
Wasn't the same. Do you know what you need to do? You need to go to Tokyo to watch the Main Street like, because Pete's Dragon is still in that.
Yeah, and it's honestly that kind of like 16-bit electrical music. It's just
music.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's really good.
This trip, did you kind of stick to anything that you were going to do in your original plans in 2020 that you and your dad put together? So what did you stick to?
Yes, we had a couple of like, so we'd done a few of our restaurant bookings already, because then it was you had to book 6 months out, and we had booked Garden Grill, so we booked that again to kind of do that, and then we also booked Olga's Cantina as well, and It was kind of special having those moments. And then also because in 2020, that was the year that so many of Galaxy's Edge was sort of opening and was all shiny and new. I had done a pretty good job of not having too many spoilers for Rise of Resistance or Smuggler's Run. And I think during Rise of Resistance, I really had like, it's like you're flying around the place and getting tossed this left, right, center, had a little bit of a tear during all of that. And my son was like, you're right, mummy. But I just really felt like, oh, my dad would have really loved this. Like it was so brilliant. It was so well done. It was like we were saying about, like, it was done for the art and it was done like out of, you know, with love. And I thought that was really special, the way that that all comes together. I think that ride is just fantastic. So yeah, I think that was, those are some things that we did that I really thought like, oh yeah, I had a bit of a moment. I think you've got to give yourself a little bit of a moment.
I think you've got to have a little bit of a moment. 100%. Shell's with us on the podcast, literally just back from Walt Disney World. She not only is going to tell us about her ideal world, date Walt Disney World, she did it on the last trip. Can't wait to find out what you did. Back with Shell in just a moment. I got some news for you. I got a lot of news for you. There's been a lot of updates since the last podcast. First, let's talk about Zootopia over at Animal Kingdom. The Tree of Life used to be the Bugs Life 3D thing. You know, it was horrible. It was really dark. They used to poke you in the back. Terrified kids and adults. Well, we know it's going to be rethemed to Zootopia, and we know that it's actually going to be opening before the end of the year. November the 7th, you'll be able to see Zootopia Better Together. It's 3D in carrot vision, and I do believe you won't get poked in the back this time. So Zootopia coming to Animal Kingdom from November the 7th. We also had an update about Muppets taking over Rock and Roller Coaster. So Aerosmith are on the way out, Muppets are on the way in. We won't get to experience this till next year. So the story is that Muppets are taking over G-Force Records. the queue, the waiting room, you know, where you wait in with Aerosmith and she says, we better order a super stretch limit, that kind of thing. So when you're in that room, it does look really good. There are animatronics in there. So if you're a Muppets fan, you'll recognise. Well, we've got the penguins that you might recognise from Muppets 3D. There's also Scooter is in there as well. And there's video screens. It looks like Kermit and Miss Piggy. And it looks like the band have gone missing. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, who obviously the band that are taken over from Aerosmith on Rock and Roller Coaster. It looks like they've gone missing. But thanks to Muppet Labs, they've got a fast car to get us there. So the outside looks brilliant. They've repainted, or they will repaint the guitar like a big psychedelic, electrical, more colourful guitar outside the attraction. And then inside, the queue and the waiting room and the recording studio looks brilliant. However, I think be prepared to be let down for the actual ride itself. Don't build your hopes up for the actual ride. I think it's going to be a simple overlay because it's all cardboard cutouts inside, isn't it? I guess that big Hollywood sign that you crash through, I think they'll change that to be the Muppet Show logo. I'd a guess. It's just a guess. So I think the ride's going to be pretty much exactly the same. They'll change the music. Obviously, it's not going to be Aerosmith. The queue looks good, but maybe the rest of it will be a bit the same. But you know, there's a lot of people who like the Muppets, don't like roller coasters, so wouldn't want to go on it. But don't let that put you off going through the queue. But then you'll get to the actual ride itself and just leave if you want to just see what it's like. But that's going to be next year anyway. We don't even know when Rock and Roller Coaster will be closing down for a refurb. We know that Spaceship Earth is closed now for a refurb, by the way. That's now closed till the end of the year. Star Wars, Smuggler's Run over at Hollywood Studios. If you get the job as the engineer, the boring job, well, the good news is you'll actually get a bit more of a decision now. You'll need to be more involved. You'll get to choose the destination from May the 22nd. That will change because, of course, Grogu and Mandalorian are coming to that attraction, Smuggler's Run. Buzz Lightyear over at Magic Kingdom is getting some new vehicles, new laser guns. That's going to be a bit more interactive. And the person that you're sharing the car with will have a different colour to you. There'll be two different colours, so that makes it easy to spot which one is yours. We know there's going to be some new developments over at Hollywood Studios with Animation Courtyard, which I think is going to be brilliant, where they used to create legendary Disney animations way back, like Lilo and Stitch was made there. Robin Williams's character Lost Boy is going to be included in part of that as well. Other news that we got from these announcements, we know that Cool Kids Summer that they did this year is going to be back in 2026, but also this weekend is D23, so maybe there'll be a couple of more announcements. Or maybe not. This is not the big D23 that's happening. This is just a mini one, and it's happening at Walt Disney World this weekend. So if there is any news between now and the next podcast, I'll try and be the first to update you on the socials. At Pod Magical is where we are. Shell's back with us on the podcast. Let's talk about some of your favourite things then that you did on your last trip. Where did you eat and what did you like?
Oh, so we did a lot of character dining with young children. I think that is a good way to do things because then obviously they, you know, they come to your table and you can kind of have those interactions. You're not in a line for it and they're often a bit more authentic as well. And we got to a point though, my youngest one, who's four, I said to him, oh, we're going to go to this restaurant and Mickey Mouse can be there. And oh, not that guy again.
He is everywhere, you know.
I think I had overdone it a little bit, but we went to Topolino's, which was incredible, so brilliant. Loved it for their breakfast, and that was amazing. We went to Tusker House, which we really enjoyed, and we booked that just at the end of breakfast, so you get a little bit of lunch stuff too. Very sneaky tip, but it is a good one. So we did that, which was really good. Loved that. We went to Garden Grill, which I mentioned before, and then when we stayed at Wilderness Lodge as well, we did do the storybook dining with Snow White and Grumpy and Dopey, which was just really special. It was so beautifully themed, like the food just incredible. I had a pork shank that I'm going to dream about for years to come. I think that was really something really special. So that was great. And then the other place that we really loved was Docking Bay 7. We went there twice. I really liked it. It was like great quick service place, and the theming in there was just brilliant. And we seemed to keep going there when it was very, very busy, sort of between 7 and 8, when everyone's kind of trying to get a quick meal in and then go and do something and then get in the line for Fantasmic or whatever. Yeah. And it was as busy as it was and as rammed as it was, and it's like sometimes the counter was like almost overflowing with Coca-Cola. They were still, the staff there were just amazing. They would still go like, they would still be like, cargo order up for Shirley. Like, they would still say, like, you know, they're still keeping character and do the whole...
Yeah, even though they're massively busy.
Exactly. And I thought, I love the commitment to it. I was just really... And the food there was really nice too. It's like, if I think for children, it has a bit more, you know, sort of pastry and a bit more breadth of dishes than some of the other places. So the children really love the food there too. So yeah, that was what I really liked.
I'm guessing you weren't on the dining plan. You didn't buy a dining plan or anything like that.
No, yeah, we didn't. So we did, well, we did do a bit of eating in and around the parks. And then we did a packed lunch a couple of days as well. And
good plan.
That was fine too. Yeah. And there's quite a lot of space to eat it as well. We found lots of really great places with a bit of shade and where you can just sort of watch things go by and eat your sandwiches and stuff. So, so it was good. We had a bit of a mixture. So we did a bit of, eating in parks and a bit of packed lunches and stuff.
How did you budget for it with food? Did you say, right, did you pre-plan before going, right, this is going to cost us this, so we'll eat here on this day? How did you work that out? Because a lot of people ask me that. How do I budget for food?
Yeah, so I did have a little look, especially the character dining. I'd already planned out how much they were going to be and work, because obviously you can get the price off the site, but you need to add on your tax
and tip.
And you need to kind of be aware of how much that's going to be. So I'd kind of parked all of, so I had a little note of how much I expected each of the character meals to come in at. We just played it by ear. I didn't find the food in the park to be too expensive. We're just getting two kids meals usually and two adult meals. And a lot of the quick service places, the kids meals are sort of, you know, $15 and the adults are maybe a little bit more, like $20. The drinks are expensive. I think that's a real, if you are savvy with your water bottle, and as we know, free ice water everywhere.
We know this.
Yes, it's a good tip. Then that's a real cost saver as well, I think. Making sure that you're on top of your ice water.
I find usually if you have like a glass of wine or a cocktail with a meal, suddenly that is where you notice the price of going,
100%.
This is expensive now. You're talking like $20 for a cocktail. You go, suddenly that makes it an expensive meal then, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely, yeah. Yeah,
through that. So, favourite attraction? Could be a ride, could be a parade, could be whatever.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Star Tours. I just love Star Tours. I think it's brilliant. And I think the adventure continues. It's just the most, fantastic addition to Star Tours. Star Tours is already great. Star Tours in Hollywood Studios, very different to my Paris. The queuing area is just, you're queuing in an Ewok village under an AT-AT that blasts out cold air you couldn't make it better. It's fantastic. And I just loved it. And also, I think in France, the chaos of Star Tours is kind of a little bit created by the fact that you don't really know what's going on because half of the robots are speaking in French to you as well.
Yeah.
So I quite really liked the Hollywood Studios one. And also, it's just, me and my son had this thing where the older one, the younger one went on Mickey and Minnie's with my husband. And then me and my son were like, right, we're going to keep riding until we get one where we go to the Wookiee Planet, and we went on four times until we got one where we went to the Wookiee Planet, and we just we set a scenario, and we just been, because it's for us so many times it was a sort of 5-10 minute queue, you're just sort of walking straight round, and I love that feeling.
Yeah, it doesn't get busy.
Yeah, when you're at a theme park, of just like that kind of like, let's go on again, okay then, let's just do it, and then and we just kept riding over and over again. One time he was the spy on the ship, which was really exciting. I didn't always realize that happened. Yeah, it was great. We went on so many times. And what I found a bit weird about, and it took me a bit of a while to adjust about Walt Disney World, was the kind of the equity that you give rides because of their, that I was giving rides because of their queue time in Paris. So like Star Tours in Paris would often be like a 30 minute. So when it was on 5 minutes, I was like, we've got to go on now. It's only 5 minutes. Cause I was And I was doing that with a lot of things before I realized you're in a different landscape here. You need to just relax. Tomorrowland Speedway is not the same as Autopia. You can queue for an hour for Autopia in Disneyland Paris easily because the loading time is so poor and it's just a longer track and it's just a bit more. Whereas Tomorrowland Speedway, we saw it at 5 and 10 minutes. I get really overexcited about it. I'd be like, we've got to go on it. And then Miles would be like, it's been that time all day. Just relax, like calm down. but it's really funny because you give rides a certain waiting because of how long the queue time is, when actually, is it merited? I don't know, sometimes it isn't. That was just, I found that really funny. Even the Dumbos, because in Paris, the Dumbos, you're often like 45 minutes for that as well. Whereas the setup they have in in Magic Kingdom for the Dumbos, the double Dumbos with the play area, with the air-conditioned play area.
Double Dumbos. Is where it should be.
Honestly, that's how it should be done every time. Anyway, sorry, I've digressed. But yeah, so really love Star Tours, and I think it's a great ride, and I love that they've got all the different adventures. And I've heard that they're going to do something similar with the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run as well in the future.
That's very cool. So
yeah,
you say you've been listening to this podcast to pick up tips. What tips did you pick up when you were there that you can share with us for future trips?
So a few. One thing that worked really well for us, having young children who want to buy stuff all the time, was I bought them big penny press books before we got there. And then every day I'd let them have a couple of pennies so that we could, those penny press machines, everywhere in the parks. I actually looked it up, and I think there's like, you can get 400 or something different designs. They're everywhere. They're in all like the resorts, they're in all the parks, they're in all the water parks, they're everywhere. And they're you get 8 of them for $5. So I say to my children, you get 4 each a day, and they'd like have to share 8 between them. And they were so happy because they get a little memento from whatever, you know, ride or attraction they enjoyed. And that gave them, I mean, not to say that I cracked not buying too much merch. I have been unpacking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been unpacking lightsabers and droids and Navi axes today. So there's all sorts of stuff that we bought into while we were there. But I think it was a good little thing for them to have like one little thing every day that they got. And they put their pennies into their books, and they've got these big full books of pennies now.
That's a great idea for a souvenir.
And then I say the other little tip, I would say, I didn't realise about this before it happened, but I looked it up afterwards, and I understand this probably isn't for small ears.
But
you might have heard this before, but in Epcot, we were between the America Pavilion and the Italy one. We were just sort of walking to a dinner reservation, and suddenly loads of characters came out.
Character Palooza.
I've heard it's to do with like a bit of a training thing, so they're very well monitored, and then they're usually people who newer characters
For friends of characters.
But it was fantastic. We saw Mickey and Donald and Stitch and Mary Poppins Penguin and loads of characters. Really, it was amazing, and there was sort of very little queue. It was all very informal and stuff, and so that was really good too. So yeah, I've heard I found out about like why that had happened afterwards, but we really enjoyed that. That was really fun too.
That's always good.
That was a magical
across.
moment. Yeah.
And you did the Halloween party.
Well, we didn't do the Halloween party.
Oh, were you there for Halloween?
Yeah. So we our last day, so we were flying on the Friday night, and that was the first Halloween party that day. So we went to the park the day of the Halloween party the morning, which was amazing because there was no queues on anything. It was incredible because a lot of people are sort of realize it's a shorter day if you've got a regular ticket, and then everyone's out by 6 and the Halloween party is starting to come in, and we left the park at 5. So we've seen the Halloween party people coming in, and some incredible costumes. It was really amazing. But we saw the whole park decorated for Halloween, which was really cool too. Yeah, so we didn't actually do the Halloween party.
But you saw Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
How hot was it, by the way? Because a lot of people saying that first Halloween party was hot.
It was insane. It was. I checked on my phone, and it was like 42 degrees at one point. It was phenomenally hot, and I saw some really intense costumes. Absolute heroes wearing them, but like some really brilliant costumes. Some women in like full length dresses with long sleeves. I saw a man dressed as the Beast. I saw a man dressed as Mr. Potato Head in a massive costume. I just couldn't. I was in like shorts and a vest. Like, it was so hot. So props to them, and I hope they had a really good
baked
party.
Mr. Potato Head, probably
100%. Yeah, but it was brilliant. But yeah, but I think you said on your last podcast that most people do just wear Halloween t-shirts, and I think that's definitely true. At this time of year, most people were just sort of wearing a spooky t-shirt or something that alluded to a character, it was just too hot to go in the sort of bigger costumes. But there were some people who were doing it, and my all props to them, because they had a brilliant time.
And also, it's August still. We're 2 months away from actual Halloween.
It does feel really weird.
It's so just reminded me, actually, going in August. I always say that the last couple of weeks in August, when the American schools are back, is a bit quieter. Was it?
Mm.
Did you feel it? It was busy?
I I think so. And we were sort of there over the overlap too, because we, our trip started on the 31st of July in the parks. Our first day was the 31st of July. So we saw a little bit of the tail end of that too. And it definitely was quieter in that second week. But then the sort of, it was like the British invasion. Brits arrived. And loads of Brits were coming out at that time. I have also heard as well this year that a lot less Canadians have travelled to Florida.
That's right, yeah.
Political reasons. So so I think that has had a big impact, because I was really braced for some really long queue times, and I didn't think it was too bad. There are a couple of times where there were a few things we didn't get to go on just because of like weather and stuff. And I think that's the thing in August. The weather is quite
Hard the storms.
Going. Yeah, and as many times you tell yourself, we're just going to wear ponchos and we're just going to stay in the park, it's going to be fine. Like once you get your feet absolutely soaked and everything, you're sort of like, well, actually, I think I might want to go back now.
Crocs is where it should be. Crocs and flops.
100%. Yeah. So yes, yeah, so I think that was a thing. So yeah, I think there are some rides like in Epcot, you've got Test Track, which is newly reopened, so everyone wants to have a go on the newly reopened Test Track and Guardians of the Galaxy. And if the weather gets bad and then Test Track goes down, then everyone flocks to Guardians of the Galaxy, and rides are so interdependent in certain areas. And I think that sometimes affected the queue times a bit. So we didn't get to go on Test Track, unfortunately, but we did get to go on Guardians, so that was good.
So we're waiting to find out about your ideal day. You were thinking about what your ideal day would be, but then you went and did it.
Went and did it, yeah.
So talk me through it. What happened? Not what would you do. What did you do?
Well, what did we do? So we drove early into the parks because we were now resort guests, which is very exciting. And as part of kind of planning for this as well, I did a bit of Disney maths on it all as well, because you're like, well, if we do that, well, it'll cost this much, but then we're saving on parking for that day and that day. So that means you start to do all the sort of like, backwards maths for it. But yeah, sorry. So we drove into the parks. We were resort guests. So we were allowed to get in a little bit, like, you know, that bit earlier. And we did go to Magic Kingdom. It was our wedding anniversary as well. So we had the pins, we had the badges, and everyone was saying happy anniversary. It was really nice. We actually spent most of it in like Adventureland. So we did Jungle Cruise, which was really good. We did it. Do you know what? We never managed to hit that cheeseburger spring roll cart when we were hungry. I don't know what happened. We just kept walking past it. I kept going, we've got to get those at some point. We've got to get those at some
point. You never did.
We never hit it at the right point. We hadn't just had a massive meal or something, and we just were like, yeah. So we messed that up a little bit. We had this we sort of did a few rides around Magic Kingdom, you know, the Dumbos and Small World. We did get on Mine Train as well. And then we were just waiting for our room to be ready, and the plan was to sort of go back, get freshened up, let the children have a swim in the pool, and then we were going to go to Storybook Dining at Wilderness Lodge with Snow White and the Evil Queen and Grumpy and Dopey. They were expecting the room to be ready at like 3, I think they say is the time. 11:30. 11:30.
Oh, what a win.
They're so good. So we did head back a bit earlier than we had planned originally. I think we headed back about 2. And then did get in the pool. Unfortunately, this isn't part of my ideal day, but then there was a clap of thunder and they closed the pool immediately. So that was a bit of a shame. But I didn't mind, because it gave us a bit more time to get ready for dinner and stuff, like get ready for our dinner and stuff. So it all worked out really well. And then after we'd had the amazing meal at Artist Point, we headed back into the park by boat, which is always lovely. And like, so we went across the lake on the boat, and then we went to watch the fireworks and the Starlight Parade as well. So that was really good. And yeah, it was on the parades as well, followed your advice on where to watch them from. And even the Starlight Parade, we watched that outside Country Bears, a little bit further along, outside the trading post, in the same sort of stretch. There's a little platform, and I kept thinking, there's going to be a cast member that tells us we can't stand on here. There's got to be a cast member. No, they didn't. They didn't. It was fantastic.
A little bit
view.
Higher up. Yeah,
yeah, it was
great.
A fantastic view. So that was really good. So that's a top tip as well. So, so yeah, that was really, it was a really magical day. So we spent it all in Magic Kingdom. But yeah, absolutely loved it. And I would say as well, I don't know if it's official policy, but we did book that one night stay at Wilderness Lodge using rented DVC points.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was really cool.
Yeah,
and
totally fine.
I was a bit like, is this legal? cool. Can you do this?
It's a whole normal thing.
And so I'd seen a vlog talking about how to do it and stuff. So we gave it a try and saved ourselves, I think, probably about £125 on the night. And also we got this snazzier, bigger room, and we were in the Boulder Lodge, Boulder Ridge part of Wilderness Lodge, and so we had a little kitchenette and everything, and there's another pool there as well, so that's fantastic.
And if you're there when it's deluxe hours, either the night you're there or the day you check out, you can use that as well, because DVC counts as deluxe hours.
Yeah, so they actually did have deluxe at Animal Kingdom that night, but we really wanted to do the fireworks. And I felt the best chance of us doing the fireworks and getting the children home in one piece, that was our best run at doing the fireworks when we were staying on site, sort of thing. So yeah, that's what we did.
One more question before I let you get back to your unpacking and washing. Favourite memory from Disney World, from any of the visits? Gosh, do you know what? I'm going to say favourite memories from any Disney visits.
Okay.
So it could be Paris.
Oh, gosh.
First time you went to Florida or this latest trip. One memory.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, obviously, we got engaged. We're putting the engagement aside because that's obviously a good life memory. I think when I was about nine at Disneyland Paris, in the Lucky Nugget in Frontierland, they used to have like a can-can show, and we sat on one of the tables right at the front, and I was like invited to go up and dance on the can-can show.
Ah.
And I really remember that. It was a real special thing. So now, often when we go to Disneyland Paris, we often have a little bite of the Lucky Nugget, even though they don't have the can-can show anymore. I just always thought that was a really, that's a real thing that I remember. I love all the audience participation stuff, really going for it. So I really remember that. It was very special. But yeah.
Lovely chatting to you. Glad you've got some good memories to take with you. But unfortunately now, you've got a lot of washing to do.
I do.
Shall have a magical day.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
If you'd like to join me on the podcast for a guest, maybe you've just come back from Walt Disney World, maybe it's been your first ever visit, maybe you've been many times, maybe you've not been for a long time, drop me a message. At Pod Magical is where we are. We'll get you on. We'll sort out time to get you on. Hey, if you go in over the next couple of weeks, it's a great thing to do to get some cheaper restaurants. Orlando Magical Dining is on at the moment. I mentioned this on the last podcast. Select restaurants, in fact, I say select restaurants, there's dozens and dozens of restaurants around Orlando, including quite a few of them at Disney Springs and a couple at Swan and Dolphin, and I think over at Universal City Walk as well. So they've got set menus for a discount price. When I go later in September, I'm going to go to Summer House by the Lake because I've never actually been there for dinner, and they're on Magical Dining. So I think it's like $30-$35 for a three-course set menu. So I'm going to try that, but check out Orlando Magical Dining if you want some cheaper restaurant experiences, save yourself some money. And of course, if you do like dining, then it's the Food and Wine Festival. Food and Wine Festival is now on at Epcot, including the Epcot Eat to the Beat concert series. The Beer and Barrel opens at Magic Kingdom. Did you get your Beer and Barrel reservation the other day? Yes, that was chaos, wasn't it? This is the new Pirates of the Caribbean lounge that's opening next to Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom. Yes, I'm going to be going to that in a few weeks' time when I go over. So I'll let you know when I get back. As I mentioned in the news, it's D23 this weekend, so maybe some announcements coming soon. Halloween Horror Nights about to start at Universal. If you're going to Epic Universe and you've pushed the boat out a little bit and bought Express Pass, well, pretty much all the rides are included in Express Pass now, because previously Harry Potter and one of the other ones wasn't included. So I think the only ride now is one of the Train Your Dragon rides, but there's a lot more rides included in the Express Pass, which I think is actually more expensive than the ticket itself to Epic Universe. But if you go in and you're going to be there for one day and you want to make sure you do everything, then do check that out. Finally, for this episode, I'm going to give you a top tip. Oh, the weather, by the way. Yeah, still high 20s, still afternoon storms, pound to dollar's about 1.35. The top tip for this episode, now you can use this if you're going to a Halloween party or indeed a Christmas party over at Magic Kingdom. These are on select nights, you've got to pay more, and there's various things that you only get during the parties. Obviously, it's slightly different at Christmas because the week before Christmas, some of the Christmas stuff they do in the park anyway. But if you're going to the Halloween party, the fireworks, the parade, the castle shows, you only get at the Halloween party. My top tip is try and do as much as you can, as late as you can, into the party. So, for example, there are two parades. Try and catch the second one, because the first one gets really busy. You've got the parade, then there's the fireworks, then there's the parade. You only get to see the fireworks once. You've only got one shot at doing the fireworks, so you need to do that. But if you can catch the second parade, it's always a bit quieter, because especially people with little kids, they'll see the parade and then they'll do the fireworks and then they'll go. So trick-or-treating is always a little bit quieter later on, and they seem to give you more. The parades are a little bit quieter, but more importantly, the party itself finishes at midnight. However, the last castle show with the Sanderson sisters, or if you go at Christmas, it's Clarabelle Cow singing Mariah, it's always midnight. So the party finishes at midnight, but the last castle show only starts at midnight. So technically, you're extending your party by 20, 25 minutes. Now, I remember last time I went to the Halloween party, I did this. I actually ended up watching the parade twice because I like watching the parade. And I do like to watch the parade. I watch the parade anyway over at Frontierland just because I think it's quieter. Christmas, I like to see the Christmas parade by the castle and Main Street. But I think watching the Halloween parade over at Fantasyland, just because it, sorry, over at Frontierland, because it's a bit dark around there, I think it works better. But Halloween, you don't get to see Max Goof and Powerline. He only does that on Main Street. So there's a bit of a tip there. So you won't get him if you go around there. But I do like to watch it there. So I did that and we did the fireworks and then I watched the parade again. And they were waiting for the last castle show. And it was about 12:45. There wasn't many people. And as I was waiting, I thought, I wanted to go meet Stitch dressed as Elvis, but it was always really busy. So I thought, I'll just go have a look out how long it is. Like 12:50, there was nobody there. Yeah, what had been like 30, 40 minutes throughout the night, nobody there. So you might even get a quieter queue for one of the characters. So my top tip, if you can stay to the very, very end of the party, and you really should, you know, you want to get your money's worth, try and do as much as you can later on in the evening. You'll get extra candy. There's my top tip for this episode. Back with a new podcast, a couple of weeks' time, new guest, new memories, more news. Who knows what's going to come from D23? Meanwhile, follow us on the socials at PodMagical. If you could like and subscribe, that would be brilliant. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.